Acts 27 or 28, verses 17 to 31. Acts 28, verse 17 to 31. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our father, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Now Paul has already been removed from Jerusalem to Rome, and he's been delivered over to the Romans because of the persecution of the Jewish so-called church, the Jewish religion. He says, who when they had examined me, they would have let me go. The Romans would have let him go because there was no cause of death in me. There was no reason for anybody to want to kill me. I ain't done nothing worthy of death. Jews wanted to kill Paul just like they killed Jesus. Now he says, but when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, the Jewish leaders, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. In prison because he wants to get people free. Did you know the greatest weapon the devil has is ignorance? When you go to almost any person who claims to have truth, and he will not give you all truth, you're dealing with a doctor, he won't tell you the truth. You better get away from him. Somebody said, well, I don't want to tell them they got cancer. They can't deal with it. Oh, yes, they can. People have a inward thing in them that helps them respond to truth, no matter how devastating it may be. We have been built with a thing in us that can deal with truth. It's this deceit, this lying, this half-truth that causes us trouble. That's why our nation's in trouble, because the politicians tell us it's half-truth. They think the American people can't deal with adversity. Well, we grew up in adversity. The American people went through hard times and always conquered them. We can handle anything if we put our mind down to it. It's because we are being told half-truths, and we don't know how which way to turn half the time. And it's the same thing with the church. You'd be surprised how many times in churches, preachers deliberately withhold knowledge from their people because they're afraid that they can't handle it. Brother, you can handle anything if it's truth. If it's truth. The Bible said love believes all things. Come on, believe the lie to be a lie and believe the truth to be truth. And when you know the difference, you don't. If you know something's a lie, you can deal with it, can't you? That's why Jesus said that Satan is the father of lies. Somebody said the devil told me I was sick. Well, you ain't going to believe that, are you? You know he's a liar. It's nice that you know this. Let me tell you something. If you don't know when God talks, for God's sakes, know when the devil talks. And you'll still know what truth is. I'll run that one past y'all again. Some folks ask, how do I know when God talks? Well, you see, very few people can tell you when they hear God talk. But almost everybody hears the devil talk. And now the devil's a liar. Always. In every situation, everything he says, even if it sounds like the truth, it's still a lie. He's the father of lies. If the devil tells you you're all right, you know you ain't all right. If he tells you you're sick, you know he's a lie. Hey, you lie, devil. Yeah, I'm glad you told me that. Now I know I'm well. I go ahead and be happy. You see, you learn by what God said. Now let's read a little bit further here, and I'm going to get the point I want to get across here. It says here, and they said unto him in the 21st verse, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee. The Jewish leaders telling Paul, we haven't heard these bad things about you yet. But we do desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, this so-called Christian church, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. Did you know that real Christianity is hardly ever received anywhere? I could walk into almost any church in Boston and practice true Christianity, which is no respecter of persons, which means love your enemies, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, walk holy, and most of these churches would not accept me as a Christian. They still speak evil against the Christian church. I just got finished telling you when I started that Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light, and they will not come to the light, because when they come to the light, their deeds are revealed, and they love them better. So they find churches that have low lights. Don't turn them up so bright. You know, don't tell everybody everything. Just pat them on the back and say, it's all right. 23rd verse. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his own lodging. To whom? Listen to this now. Paul, preaching to the Jewish leaders at Rome, it says he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. Persuading them. Now, you see that word? He persuaded them. He convinced them. Hey, when somebody's persuaded now, when you persuade somebody, you got them over to your side. He persuaded them. What words are there? Paul literally persuaded them. He took the Old Testament law of Moses. He took the teachings of the prophets, the Bible said, and he persuaded them concerning Jesus, both out of the law and out of the prophets. And he had so much to use it that it took it from morning to night. Boy, he had infallible proof. Praise God. Do you know this world? This world has never had the proof about Mohammed or Confucius. Come on, people, like we've had about Jesus Christ. Everywhere you go and anywhere in the world, his name is spoken either for or against, but he's there. Somehow you got to deal with this man called Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Even Pontius Pilate, who didn't want to mess with his holler, what am I going to do? Or what are you going to do with this man called Jesus? You got to do something with him. And Paul preached to those old Jewish saints or Jewish leaders and persuaded them. Now here's the verse I was looking for. Verse 24. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. You think the world's changed much? There's people here this afternoon, and when I say some things, some of you are going to believe them, some of you ain't. Hallelujah. Now, if I was smart, like some people say, I would look you over real good, and I would make sure I say nothing that hits you. Then I'd have you on my side. But if I want to please God, I know the Word of God, so I look all around, and I find out where it does hit you. Then I get in trouble. I often said, can you picture Jesus walking into a church on Mother's Day? Have you been to church on Mother's Day? Boy, what they don't do on Mother's Day. They forget about Jesus. They got flowers for the oldest mama, the youngest mama, the one with the most kids, and the preacher even preaches on mothers. Can you picture Jesus walking there and saying, whosoever loves mother more than me is not worthy of me? Now that wouldn't be protocol, would it? Not on Mother's Day. Well, think about that. Would that be kind of shocking? But that's exactly what Jesus talked. He said, whosoever does not hate his mother, or his father, or his wife, or his son, or his daughter, he says, not worthy of me. Oh, Jesus didn't say that. Yeah, he did. Well, he didn't mean it. Oh, I see. He was just playing with words, wasn't he? You see, God is very smart, people. He knows that the only true love that anybody's going to have is first a love for God, which will be demonstrated to every other relationship you may have. And unless you have that love perfected for God, there is no true love for mother or father or husband or wife or son or daughter. He knows what he's doing. He put it right where it belongs. So we still got the people that believe and believe not. Now the scriptures tell us in Hebrews 11, chapter 11 and verse 6, it says, they that come to God, if you're going to deal with God at all, you must first believe that he is. You got that? Not was. People look all over this world and we're trying to change the world. We ain't going to change the world. Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't change the world. There was people who hung him on the cross, and ever since the beginning of the church, there was people who fought God. Ever since the beginning of time, they fought God. Why, I was talking the other night about Stephen, one of the greatest preachers that ever walked in two shoes. When he got done preaching, he, after working miracle after miracle, he turned around and said to the people, he said, why, you crucified the Holy One of Israel. He said, you're still rejecting the blood of the Son of God. I told a Jewish friend the other night, I said, the Jews are still doing the same thing. The Jews are now rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem, and they're getting ready to reestablish the daily sacrifice of offering blood and bulls and goats. Still rejecting the blood of Christ. Still doing despite to the Holy Ghost, people. Amen. Hey, there's only one perfect sacrifice for the sins of mankind, and that was the blood of Jesus Christ. We were not redeemed with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the precious blood of the Lamb. That's how you were redeemed. But these old stubborn, rebellious Jews are still going to go out and say, we're going to kill our own goat. We'll shed our own blood. Still stiff-necked, aren't they? Uncircumcised in heart, still resisting the Holy Ghost. Do you know that there are many Protestant churches today that have taken the blood right out of their teaching, out of their songbooks, out of their Bibles? They don't believe that the blood of Christ is necessary for the salvation of a soul. Yet the Bible says very carefully, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Aren't you glad for the blood? There ain't no way you could be clean except for the blood of Jesus. So they that come to God must first believe that He is. Now that's where we're at now. Do you believe He is? Now, that's the beginning part, isn't it? In the beginning, God. You see, He's the beginning. Until you get that thing straight, you'll go no further. They that come to God must believe that He is. Everybody say, praise the Lord. If you believe in God, then the second step is to believe in Jesus. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, you believe also in Me. Now some folks say, it don't make no difference what religion are as long as you believe in God. Oh, but the only way to get to God is through Jesus. God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and there is salvation given among men. There is salvation given to men only through the name and the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There, you don't tell me. That's what I was trying to tell you when they asked Oral Roberts, and they asked Phil Donahue, asked Oral Roberts and Jerry Falwell, are the Jews going to go to hell because they don't believe in Jesus? And Oral Roberts, he just shucked that one all together. He wasn't going to answer that question. He'd lose too much of them Jewish money. He just passed that one right over. Here's a man supposed to be representing Jesus Christ. One of the most influential Protestant preachers in the last 20 years. Known around the world. And get a chance to stand up for truth. And he just crawfished. He said, I ain't the judge. That was his answer. He wouldn't have had to be the judge. All he had to do was just say, Phil, let me read from God's word. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. There's your answer. Now Jerry Falwell did a little bit better. Thank God for that. When they asked Jerry Falwell, old Phil Donahue was wanting him to speak out, you know. He figured if he get old Jerry Falwell to say the Jews would go to hell, that all the Jews would get mad at him because he'd been having meetings with Begin. And they're trying to get Begin and him at each other's throat. Old Phil was trying to, and old Jerry sat there for a few minutes, but thank God he had an answer. Finally he said, I want to tell you something, Phil. He said, you or anybody who don't believe in Christ is going to go to hell. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that be the God. And that's still the answer today. On Christ the solid rock I stand. Brother, praise the Lord. Well, see, they have dances over here and ball games over here. Come on, let's not let them outdo us here today. Lord, have mercy. Somebody raise your hand and say, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise His wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Jesus said, if you believe in God, believe also in Me. So you see, if you're going to be a believer today, you're going to have to believe in Jesus Christ. Somebody said, do I have to? Yes, sir. When the man said, what must I do to be saved? Acts 16. Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in Me. Amen. I and My Father are one. When you see Me, you've seen the Father. He said, you don't have no spiritual eyes, so I came down and took on the form of flesh, so you can behold the Lamb of God at takes away the sins of the world. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, blessed be His wonderful name. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, praise His wonderful name. Reach over and touch somebody and say, I believe I'm going to get happy here. Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost. In Acts 8, chapter 8 of the book of Acts, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now you know what the scripture was? The eunuch was riding in a chariot, reading Isaiah 53. That's what he was reading. Who hath believed our report? Unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He was wounded for our transgression and bruised for our iniquity and chastised for our peace. And with his stripes we are healed. And the eunuch turned over to Philip and said, who is the prophet talking about? And it says here, and he began at that scripture to preach unto him Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I got news for you. You can begin at any scripture and preach Jesus. Oh, yeah. But that book is filled with the ministry of Jesus Christ. He preached unto him Jesus. Jesus, not Baptist, not Methodist, not oneness, not Trinity, not Catholicism, not Romanism, amen, and not Methodism, not Calvinism. Oh, he preached Jesus. He preached Jesus, the way maker, the burden bearer, the shielding buckler, the high tower, the sea walker, the blind eye healer, the leper cleanser, the tumor remover, the heart regulator, the sin cleanser. Lord, how went on their way. They came onto certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? Turn around to somebody and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. Tell it. Let it come out of your mouth. With the heart you believe it, with the mouth you confess it. Oh, lift your hands and say, Lord, I believe. Praise God forever. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What does it mean to believe? The word believe means to put confidence in and to be fully persuaded. Now, how do we believe? Romans chapter 10, verse 11. How do you believe? I just got finished quoting that for you just a little while ago. Romans chapter 10, verse 11, it says this. It says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. Now, see, they try to tell us that there's a difference today, don't they? They actually, sometimes when I hear all these guys talking about the Jew, they almost make me sorry I was born a Gentile. And the truth of the matter is, I am sorry I was born a Gentile. That's why I got born again. Praise the Lord. So I'm not a Gentile and I'm not a Jew. Come on, I'm just a child of the King. Hallelujah. I'm a true child of Abraham. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Whosoever is of faith, the Bible says, is of Abraham. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. So don't go just back to Abraham. That ain't far enough. You got to go back to Christ, who was ordained before the foundation of the world. The Bible says you were chosen in him. Not in Abraham, but in Christ. Before the foundation of the world, before he ever poured out this great universe. Hallelujah. He provided your salvation. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Romans 10. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? I like this next one. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Oh boy. Y'all want to see some pretty feet? Them old feet been a lot of places, folk. They've been in the ghetto. They've been in Sheraton hotels. They've been on the backside of the mountains in Jamaica and Haiti. They've been in Havana, Cuba. They've been in New York City. Hallelujah. And the same gospel's preached wherever I go. To the utmost, Jesus saves. They've been in black homes and white homes. They've been in rich homes and poor homes. And the message is still the same. Hallelujah. Jesus is the rock that was hewn out of the mountain. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus our Lord. How do you believe? By hearing. And how do you believe? By only doing it. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 36. Mark 5, verse 36, we find Jesus dealing with a man. And look what it says here. It says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Now that story is the story of a man who had a daughter who was dying. And Jesus was on his way to heal that daughter. And as he was going down the road to heal the girl, the woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd, touched him and stopped him cold. Now you see, we get all carried away with the woman with the issue of blood and we forget about the father. who's standing there knowing his daughter's dying. Come on. You know we've hardly ever stopped to think about him. I have preached for 32 years and I have yet to hear another man preach about the father who was neglected at that time. Jesus literally stopped to heal the woman and let the little girl die. Mark it down and read it when you get home. Read the whole story. The man came to Jesus and said, my daughter is at home sick. He said, would you come and heal him? Jesus said, I'll come. And he started to go to the man's house. As he started to go to the man's house, the woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd, touched him, and the Bible said Jesus stood still. He stopped. And he turned around and ministered to the woman with the issue of blood. And while he was there ministering to the woman with the issue of blood, servants from the man's house came up to the man, tapped him on the shoulder, and said, trouble the master no longer. Your daughter is dead. Now Jesus literally stopped and let the little girl die. Yes, he did. Don't try to preach, and I'm going to preach. You just listen. See, Jesus has to prove to us that he is God, and he is the God of the living. Death has no dominion over him. He handles every situation. You know, somehow we get to the place that we think there are situations that when they go so far, even there, God can't reach us. And so, look at this. Here's Jesus standing here, talking to the little woman with the issue of blood. Right? Behind him is the Father, wringing his hands. Can you see him? Can you see him? Worried! Concerned! Please, sir, hurry. All of a sudden, somebody taps him on the shoulder. Go away, Jesus, hurry. And somebody taps him and says, trouble the master no longer. Your daughter is dead. Can you see the Father? Can you see him? What do you think he did? I can see him almost crumbling to his knees and he said, oh, no. My God. And Jesus heard what they said to him. And he turned around and said to the man, and I like to put my own words in here before I get to the real ones. He said to the man, don't listen to them. Don't listen to what they're telling you. Believe only. He says in the 36th verse, be not afraid. In other words, don't listen to them. What they were telling him was making him afraid. What they were telling him was making him doubt. What they were saying to him was making him fearful. So Jesus said, be not afraid. Don't listen to them. I'm still the same Jesus. I haven't changed. Before or after, does it make no difference? I am a present help. I'll make the way. I can still handle it. I still got it in my head. Oh, hallelujah. He proved it too, didn't he? He went right to the house, walked in, kicked everybody out. Hallelujah. Walked over to the girl and said, get up. Oh, she got right on up. Believe only. Luke chapter 8, verse 50. I thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands up, just praise him with me a moment. Would you do that? Oh, we praise you right now, Father. Praise God. Amen. Same story. Same story, 50th verse, chapter 8, Luke Gospel. When Jesus heard it, what did he hear? He heard them say, thy daughter is dead. That's what he heard him say. Trouble not the master. 50th verse. When Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not. Believe only. But the doctor said, I got cancer. Fear not. In fact, don't even go back to that liar. Let all men be liars. Jesus said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Little woman in the Old Testament, she befriended the man of God. And she built him a little chamber up on the roof. Every time he would pass by, he would stop there and she would give him some food and he'd go up there and rest. And one day he asked her what she would like to have and she wouldn't tell him. And finally, somebody said she's never had a child. And so the man of God spoke a word to her and said, woman, you're going to become a mother. You've been so good to me as a man of God, and God is going to bless you with a child. And she gave birth to a fine, healthy boy. He grew to be about 12 years of age, and that old man of God would come by every 6 months or so and visit the house and watch the boy grow. And one day, the boy was out in the field with his father. And he had some kind of a stroke, some kind of a sickness hit him, and he came running in the house and said, mama, my head, and he died. And the servant of the woman said, what should I do? Should I bury him? She says, no, you take him up into the man of God's chamber. Just lay him up on the bed up there. And says, then you go run and find the man of God. You go find that old fella. Amen. And said, when you find him, he's going to ask you. He's going to say, how's the woman? How's the child? Everything's all right. Her child was dead. It was dead. Her words was, all is well. Man of God, when he found that out, he knew there was something wrong.
And he asked her again, how are you doing, lady? She said, I'm doing all right. How's your child? All is well. He said to his servant, run to the house quick and see how the boy's doing. Found the boy was dead. Come on. To put my staff on him. And the boy still didn't come back to life again. And so finally, when the man of God got there, the woman never told him the boy was dead. Never one time said, my child's dead. The man of God got there and went up to his chamber, and there was a boy laying on his bed. And he just stretched himself out of that old boy and prayed a little prayer. And breathing and sneezing and breathing through his nostrils. And the bounce of his breath came back to life. He came back, brought him back down to his mother. You understand what I'm trying to get across? There's a little bit extra I'm throwing in here. But the woman believed, didn't she? Hey, she didn't believe that God would give her a boy and then take it away. That was a gift from God. That wasn't a child that was born out of a natural process of a relationship. That was a child that was born by thus saith the Lord. There's a difference when God says something. That's why Abraham wasn't disturbed when God told him to kill Isaac. That didn't come out of his natural loins. It took a supernatural miracle to produce that child. It took the word of the Lord. Abraham was over 90 years old. Sarah had gone through the menopause. She couldn't conceive a child. She even laughed when the angel told her she was going to have one. She laughed. She said, Lord, that fella sure don't know what he's talking about. God gave Abraham that child. He named him Isaac. And then finally, 12 years later, told him to kill him. Abraham marched up to the mountain, hallelujah, with the boy alongside and the wood and the fire. And he said, we're going to offer a sacrifice. And the boy said, who's it going to be, Daddy? Where's the sacrifice? I said, the Lord will provide. And the Bible said, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. He knew that even though God would make him take the boy's life, he'd raise him back to life again because the promise had been given. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you, my brother and sister, the greatest promise that you'll ever find in the Word of God is again found in chapter 14 of St. John. I will come again. Jesus is coming, folks. You can lift up your heads. The Republicans can fail. The Democrats can crumble. The economy can collapse. Come on, the nation can crumble. But Jesus is coming again. Receive us all to Himself. Praise the Lord. Only believe. How are we going to do that? It's simple, isn't it? But most of us have a trouble doing it, don't we? You know why? I'm going to tell you why now. Oh, we want to believe, don't we? Yes, we do. Come on. But most of us have trouble with believing. Sure we do. You go to that doctor one time, he tells you got high blood pressure, and you'll tell 50,000 people, I got high blood pressure. How do you know? The doctor said. Now God, who never lies, says you haven't got it. But you end up believing the doctor who lied to you. And you speak it out of your mouth all the time. All the time. With your words, you're justified. With your words, you're condemned. With your words, you're healed. With your words, you're sick. That's right. Amen. Amen. Whatsoever you say, and don't doubt, but believe in your heart that it should come to pass. It will be just like you say. We always talk about spoken word. Yeah, and a lot of us do a lot of it. Now, you see, what you need to do with what I just said is say, brother, you're telling the truth. That's the way I do it. Now, Lord, help me so I straighten up and do it right. Help me, Jesus. David said, I will guard my conversation. One place that I will order my conversation right. I'll make my mouth say what it's supposed to say. And it's supposed to say what God says. Hallelujah. Amen. God help me to get my mouth under control. Come on, so I can make it speak words of life and words of health and words of prosperity and words of victory and words of power. Oh, hallelujah. His words, they're a lamp. Oh, the word of God. Man lives not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 21, verse 31. Write it down because I'm going to turn quick. If you can get with me, fine. But if you can't, let's go with it. Matthew 21, verse 31. It's going to tell you how to believe. Here it says, whether of them twain did the will of his father, and they say unto him the first, Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you that publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now, I'm going to tell you, boy, I don't think Jesus would get by with a statement like that in Boston. Can you picture him standing over here with all these fine church-going folk and say these pimps and these harlots are going to get into the kingdom before you? Who would take that? Who would take that one? Now, you wouldn't take it, would you? Hey, I ain't never been no harlot. I never done nothing like that. And Jesus says, publicans, which are common people, and harlots,
are going to enter into the kingdom before you. Why, Lord? Why would you let somebody like that in before somebody as nice as me in?
I'm going to say something and knock you right off your stool. I understand that. That's the kind of preacher I am. But it's right there in your Bible. It's right there. Jesus said, "Verily, I say unto you, publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." He's telling them, publicans, common street people, and harlots, whores. Why, Jesus don't know what he's talking about, does he? See, some of you folk been going to church all your life, you didn't even know that scripture was there. Because most of these preachers never touched those scriptures. And I'm reading out a King James Version, red letter edition, and the words I read are in red. And it's still the Word of God, spoken by the Son of God, who is the living Word of God. I wonder why. I think some of these guys go to Bible school to find out what not to preach. I don't think they're going to find out what to preach. I think they're going to find out what not to preach. When they see their hirelings, when they get ready to pastor a church, they have a trial sermon. They go in there and they preach a little trial sermon so the deacons can evaluate them to see whether they can hire them. Now, here's the verse I want to get. How do you believe? How do you believe? For John came unto you, verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And you, when you had seen it, repented not afterward, that you might believe. Do you see why we're not believing? We won't repent. We don't want to repent. Well, I don't think the Lord's going to get angry with me by going to the doctor. You know what God said? Would you ever see somebody get jealous without getting angry? Did you know that one of the kin of jealousy is anger? And God said, "I'm a jealous God." He said, "I'm the Lord that healeth you." Now, he catch you going someplace else for healing, he's going to be jealous of you now. And what does a jealous person do when they get jealous, really jealous? What do they do? They get angry. So you see how many times we make God angry? Do we ever repent of it? I think God wants to hear us say, "Hey, God, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Help me." Remember the man that came to Jesus and said, "Lord," he said, the leper said, "Lord, if you can do anything, cleanse us." He said, "I'll do it. And if you can believe." And they said, "Lord, we believe. We believe. But help our all belief." See, you're all believers this afternoon. Sure you are. But you're having trouble with all belief. And most of us don't want to admit that. Come on. Amen. We don't want to admit that we're having trouble. Oh, we believe in God. Oh, yeah, we believe. But we're still battling on belief. And the only way you're going to get victory over it is to repent. To repent means say, "I'm wrong." You don't believe that? Well, let's turn to another scripture. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And you'll read again where Jesus is talking here. I believe it's Jesus? Yes, it is. Red letter edition. Here it says, Mark 1, verse 15. "And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand." You know what that means? Some years ago, I was preaching in the state of Alabama in a church in Decatur. It was Christmas time, and I felt so... I have never survived Christmas. Christmas is a death throw to any real Christian because people forget God at Christmas. Money stops coming in the mail. Churches won't let you have revivals. It's just like that. I've been going over here to Dorchester to the Nazarene Church for the last three times I come here, and we never one time allowed them people to support us. We supported them. When I went to come this time, they shut me down. They wouldn't let me come. Christmas. Already December 4th and 5th, they wouldn't let me come because of Christmas at the end of the month. And there I was over in Dorchester Thursday and Friday night, and the church was closed. They weren't doing nothing up there. They could have still let me use the church. Come on, they could have let me use it tonight. Come on, yes, they could have. I wasn't bothering their church. But no, Christmas. And I remember Christmas. Oh, a couple years we went to Jamaica, because I don't like being in America at Christmas time. It is devastating to watch these Christians insult God. I know you don't like that, but it's the truth. And I was in this church preaching in Decatur, Alabama, and I was very discouraged, very upset. And as I was in this church, I was discouraged, and a woman came and preached a sermon for me, and her sermon was, "God is not a God afar off, but a God at hand. And that was the first time I realized what God meant when it says at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. No further away than your hand. At hand. Put your hand out as far as you can. He's no further away than that. That's how close it is. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means you can reach it. Unless you ain't got no hands. Boy, I never forget that sermon because I thought, have you ever felt that God is miles, thousands of miles away? Everybody goes through experiences like that. Where you think, what happened to God? Job did. Job said, I sought the Lord to the front, to the back, to the right, and listen, I couldn't find him. The Bible said the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe this gospel. Believe this good news. The kingdom of God is not in meat nor in drink. It's not. It does not come by observation. The kingdom of God is within you. And it's righteousness. Doing right. It's peace. Having peace with God. And it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Look right inside of you. A fountain of living water. A burning coal of fire. Come on. Right inside of you is a living word of God that spoke universes into being. Repent and believe it, folk. Believe it. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Another place that I can run through a troop, leap over a wall. The prophet said, when you pass through the water, it won't overflow you. And if you have to walk through fire, it won't consume you. Lord, the Apostle Paul tried to sum it up by saying, if God be for us, who can be against us? And when that didn't work too good, he turned around and said, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And when that didn't work, he tried one more time and said, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe it, folk. Believe the gospel. Believe the gospel. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Look what happens when you believe. 1 Corinthians, in that Holy Bible, chapter 1, verse 21, it reads like this. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. By the foolishness of preaching. To do what? To save them that would believe it. You see what believing does? It'll save you. Come on, if you believe to the saving of the soul. You see what believing does? Unbelief does nothing for you. It destroys you. It kills you. But if you believe, it saves you. Huh? It saves you. Saves you from sin. Saves you from sickness. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. Oh, this is a good one. You know what believing will do for you? It's going to tell you right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 22. Look at this. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophecy. You know what prophecy is? Prophecy is God telling you what's going to happen. Not what might happen. Not what could happen, but what when God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen whether you like it or not. And you see what he says here? He says, but prophecy serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. That means if you're a believer, you can get a sure word of prophecy. You can know where you're going. You can have your steps aright. You will know that he will take you. You don't have to walk in darkness. A sure word of prophecy. If you believe, God spoke to Ezekiel and said, prophesy to them dry bones. Dry bones, tell them they're going to live. They were so dead and dry and scattered, they weren't doing nothing. But God said, you just tell them, old boys, you're going to live. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something. The old church of Jesus Christ is not going to be defeated. Somebody said, you believe we're going through the tribulation? Yeah, we're going through it, overcoming it, wiping it out. And when we get done with the Antichrist, he's going to wish he was in hell. Afraid of the devil's kid. Can't hardly wait. Somebody said, Brother Terry, what are we going to do when they cancel Social Security? On Christ the solid rock I stand, all on the ground is sinking. David said, I was young and got old, never saw the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22. I'm talking about what happens to people that believe. Well, believing does for you. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 20. Here it goes. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. You see what happens? Believers receive the promise. 32,000 promises in the Bible, and they're all in Christ. And if you believe in God, believe also in me. In Christ, every promise is yours. Come on, amen. All of the promises of God are yea and amen to them who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that remarkable? Why, the government can't keep the promise. The lawyers can't keep their promise. Husbands don't keep their promise. Doctors don't keep their promise. Parents don't keep their promise. But God keeps them every time. Amen. God keeps every promise. He's never failed one time. God keeps a promise, and that promise is yours. You can latch on to it. You can hold fast to the promise of God. The Bible said Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Even though he didn't know the promise was sufficient, he knew the one who made it could keep it. You see, promise ain't no good unless somebody who keeps it can do it. I could promise you $1 million, but if I'm a pauper, promise ain't no good. But God's not a pauper. He says in Philippians 4:19, Paul said, my God shall supply all of your needs. Well, where's he going to get it? From the First National Bank? No, they might go broke. From the United States government? No, they're already in debt. From the Mexican government? No, they're already in the hole. He said, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. They have never filed chapter 32 in heaven. Not bankrupt. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All the gold and silver God says belongs to him. All the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the tailors in the hill. And even the hills belongs to him. Well, that's what David said. David said, I'll lift up mine eyes to the hills. Why? Because my help cometh from the Lord. And he's on the hills. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Are you ready? Read, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. You see what God promises believers? Power. Power. He said, behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. No matter what the devil has, he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me, and I'll give it to you. Now you go out there and whoop old Slewfoot. Step on him. Trample him down. Hallelujah. He said, you can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Amen. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. See what happens to a believer? Don't you think it's worth fighting for? That's why Paul said, fight the fight of faith. That means fight to believe. Fight to believe. Somebody stands up and tells you God's words are wrong, fight for it. Open your mouth and say, I disagree with you. I believe God's true. Amen. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to hold fast to God's own changing hand. Little old black sister we used to have come to our church in Savannah, Georgia, used to sit on the front row. And every time she'd get happy, she'd start singing, hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand, hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand, he's the hope of things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Over in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we're chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You see what happens to believers? You have a right to receive the living word of God if you believe. One fellow said to him, sir, speak the word. The believer. See, he believed. He said, sir, I'm not worthy that you come to my house. He said, but my servant needs to be sick. He said, and I know you got living words. He said, speak the word only, and my servant shall live. And Jesus said, go. Go that way.
And because he believed it, he received the word. Be a believer. Be a believer, people. Whatever you do, believe. Lord, help me. Help me to believe. Look what happens here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. Going back to the book of Hebrews again. Chapter 10, verse 39. Write it down if you can't stay with me. Are you ready? Here we go. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You see what believing does for you? It'll bring salvation to your soul. Can you think of anything more important than that? Believe. You're not one of those that give up and draw back and quit. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good thing in you, he'll perform it. You've got to learn something about God. He's not only the beginning of your faith, he's the ending of it. He's not only the author, he's the finisher. On what he started in you, he's going to complete. He don't stop halfway. Oh, believe him. You may have felt like you failed 10,000 times, but he hasn't failed you yet. And he's still able to salvage you. He can still put you through the fire and get rid of the dross and bring out the gold. Have mercy. Yes, he can. When he's done, he's going to have you spotless. He's going to be able to present you before his Father with exceeding joy, saying, look at my handiwork. I took those low-down rascals and cleaned them up, and look at this. Now they can walk the streets of gold. Hallelujah. Isn't that remarkable? I took them, those drunkards and those alcoholics and those idolaters and those fornicators and those old blasphemers, and I made them children of God. Washed in the blood. Redeemed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. I'm talking about what believers do, see? 1 Peter chapter 2, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Now, you see why some folk don't consider the glorious preciousness of Jesus Christ? They don't believe he is who he is. The Apostle Paul says, you know why I love God? Because he first loved me. That's precious. That's precious. Do you know how many people really love you? Not very many. Yet he loves you.